Welcome to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling. You are about to discover impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you, so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Be sure you visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com. While you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now tune in, get ready, and enjoy the journey of emerging as a leader of exception in the 21st century.
Welcome, everyone, to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast. I'm your host, Vicki Nethling, coming to you from Roswell, Georgia. The goal of this podcast is to bring topics and guests that will empower you to become that confident leader and take your business or your life to the next level. So today I have with me Jasunni Fisher. And let me tell you about Jasunni. So she is a PhD, a MA, CHT, CAPP, a licensed psychologist, award-winning author, and happiness coach with a superpower of helping entrepreneurs, empaths, find their compelling direction and rediscover how to fall in love with life again. She has a graduate degree from Columbia University and the University of Connecticut. Jasunni has been featured in Thrive Global, Bustle, Goalcast, and more. She loves hiking with her pups, reading tarot, and making annual trips to her beloved land of Hawaii. Oh, I'm jealous. If you catch her cooking in the kitchen, run the other way. We're going to find out more about what Jasunni does in just a minute. I thought that this would be a great title for our episode, and that is How to Be Confident Wherever You Are. Please join me in welcoming Jasunni Fisher.
Thank you so much for having me, Vicki.
Well, I always want to have a happiness coach on. It's so cool that you're doing that. I have an anti-aging and wellness business that is, the founder of that business is Jeff Olson. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Olson is the founder of Happiness Inc. So he has a whole business that's all surrounded by happiness. And happiness is, you know, not something that everybody thinks achievable, but it's right there at your fingertips. So I just was very excited to have you on to get to know you a little bit better.
I'm super excited to be here.
What is that easy question that everyone can answer? Where do you live?
Physically, my body is in New Jersey right now, but I feel like my spirit is always over in Hawaii.
Okay, such a difference. Well, yes, just keep lots of pictures of Hawaii there. And what part of Hawaii?
I love two islands very much. They're near and dear to my heart. I love Maui. When I go to move to Hawaii, it'll probably in Maui, and we'll probably end up doing maybe bi-monthly, at least monthly trips to Kauai. Kauai is the smallest, furthest away jungle. It's the jungle island. And I love getting lost in nature. So Kauai is definitely something that I would need to do if I'm out in that area or when I'm out in that area. And it just wouldn't be enough for me to live permanently. So I think I'd probably live in Maui, but once a month. Yeah, go over to Kauai. Yeah.
So I've been to Oahu and Maui, and Kauai is one on my list. And I'm so sad to see the fires damage to Maui.
Yeah, in Maui. Yeah. It was heartbreaking. It was devastating for sure. Mm-hmm. Watching the fires rip through and then to know that it'll never be the same again.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful. All right. Let me ask the hard question now. Let's get into the meat of this. What inspired you to pursue your current career and your passion?
Okay. So my current career, as you've read, I am a licensed psychologist. And one thing that I like to note as a disclaimer to people as a psychologist is that this was never my intention. In fact, as an undergrad student, I was probably a junior. My career counselor sat me down, Linda. She sat me down at this big oak desk. She intertwined her fingers and she looked at me dead in the eyes and said, Sunny, because this is what she used to call me. Mm-hmm. What do you want to be when you grow up? And that had me frozen in my tracks. My heart sank down into my stomach. I had no idea how I wanted to answer that question. There was a sense of foreboding dread. Like I didn't, and this is probably when I realized I have this fear of commitment that I probably will spend the rest of my life processing. But I didn't want to commit to being anything for the rest of my life because I love variety. I love change. I love to explore. And so I thought this was just a question that everyone had to answer at some point in their lives. And I just didn't want to. And I told Linda, I have no idea. I'm just going to keep studying. So I got my undergrad in psychology. I went and got my master's in Columbia for psychology as well. And 2-3 years came and went, and I still had no idea what I wanted to be. And so I kept studying. I kept delaying that process of committing to this is what I am for the rest of my life. And by the time I got my PhD, I really wanted to say again, I have no idea. I'm going to keep studying, but my husband probably would not have liked hearing that answer. And so I started practicing psychology. I started practicing psychology as an assessor. So I worked with the township of Greenwich in Connecticut, mm-hmm. and I tested their students. So I worked with the Board of Education testing students. And I found that I didn't like working in an environment where there was a lot of red tape, very bureaucratic. And I wanted to explore the private practice area of psychology. So I went and started working with a psychiatrist and found very quickly that as much as I adore children, I actually have an inclination of working with adults. So I started working with adults in a psychiatric practice. And then very quickly, again, peeling back layers of myself, mm-hmm. things I didn't know, and I didn't want to work for anyone else. I wanted to work for myself and make my own rules. So against the advice and recommendations of all of my colleagues, I opened my own practice right away. This was after I had just gotten licensed and haven't looked back since. I love being a licensed psychologist. It's very rewarding, the one-on-one work, seeing the transformations, the ahas, but it's never been completely fulfilling. And so I slowly started acknowledging this part of my heart that said, I want to work in groups, the one to many. And in 2021 or 22, I followed that call and opened an online platform that works with a community of individuals who are on their spiritual awakening, if you will, or in search of their true selves. And I'm meeting them in that cross-section of where spirituality and psychology meet. And being a very science-based mind myself, it was difficult for me to jump headfirst into talking about spirituality, even acknowledging it. But it's just the thing that I am wired to do at this point in time in my life. So I am a psychologist, but not by choice, by cowardice, if I may. But it's everything has led me to where I am today, and I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, wow. And it's funny. And it may be just a stereotype, but I would think that there is some Hawaiian pull to the spiritual piece of it.
I definitely think so. In fact, a few years ago, I did a DNA test to see. However, unfortunately, I have no Polynesian in my physical body, but there is something about the spirit being called to those Polynesian islands for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can you share a personal story that as you were going through all of these things, mm-hmm. was there, so besides the fear of commitment, was there somewhat of a fear that you couldn't do this, that self-doubt or feeling of fear about mm-hmm. what you were embarking on?
Mm-hmm.
That people would not want to listen to you?
That's a very great question. I didn't realize I struggled with a fear of visibility for a very long time. And in fact, for me, I have this personality where I'm very outgoing, friendly. I have what feels like courage, and I don't think about consequences twice. If I feel pulled to do something, I will do it. And I'll go out in public places to perform. So none of that actually equated to me seeing that I'm actually afraid of being visible. And I think this visible piece is not the performance I can put on a show, but it's the visibility of who I am authentically. And I didn't realize that was a thing because my personality is just so gregarious and outgoing. So that was definitely a fear that was underneath the surface, if you will. But throughout the years of, you know, getting to my PhD and getting licensed, I noticed that instead of a fear, what kept me hitting blocks or the resistance throughout life was a sense of judgment. I can be, and I understand we all are this way. We have like that biggest inner critic, right? But whether it's I had these bars set so high for myself that I would be disappointed in other people quite often, or I would hear these judgmental thoughts about myself very often, and I didn't acknowledge it for a really long time until I started doing the inner work or the shadow work, as a lot of people call it. But that's how, for me, fear showed up, is as a voice of judgment. And that's something that I've had to peel back for 3 years of doing a lot of the personal healing work.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, you had your friends and you were crazy for starting your own business.
Yeah.
So I would think that anytime a session didn't go quite as planned, you would hear those voices telling you that, why are you doing this? What are you doing this? You are a happiness coach. And so what inspired you to go on to that journey, that path?
Yeah. So as a licensed psychologist, I have a lot of clinical psychology background, counseling psychology background. A lot of the training that I've received, I've noticed this pattern where we're looking to see what's wrong, or to fix a problem, or to fix someone that's broken. And that never really jived with me. And so very quickly in my career, I went and got certified in positive psychology. I wanted to look for what made us complete, what made us whole, like the strengths that we all carry. So I got certified in positive psychology, which helped me to realize I don't necessarily prescribe to the clinical psychology aspect of it. I mean, don't mind me, but I am fascinated with abnormal psychology, but that's just not what I want to teach. So being who I am and following that call that said, it really doesn't feel good to in session after session with individuals to see what's wrong with them and to point them out and to, for whatever reason, to think that I somehow know all the answers to give to them and I'm the one that is in charge of them healing, that just didn't sit right with me. So I went and got certified in positive psychology, which really did open my world, open my eyes to seeing that I'm no better or greater than the people that I serve. I just help create the space. So I hold the space for individuals to come do their own healing. And I might once in a while share with them what I'm observing, things that they probably can't see objectively. And that's how the true magical work happens.
Yeah.
And so this idea of me calling myself a happiness coach really does resonate for what I'm truly passionate about, is to remember who we truly are versus what we've conditioned ourselves to believe about ourselves, and limiting that potential that I don't think we're here to limit.
So one of the questions that you had said that you'd like to answer, it was intriguing to me. So it is, what book or movie has had a profound impact on you and on your life? And, you know, I think all of us have some movie or book that we know has changed us. So what for you is that book or movie?
Yeah, this surprises a lot of people. My favorite movie is Saw. It's in the top three. I don't know if you like psychological horror, terror type of movies.
No.
I typically don't as well, especially if they get gory.
Yeah.
But I happened to watch that movie and I realized why, because at the end of the movie, there's one particular scene, and I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't watched it or who want to watch it. But there is one particular scene where there are two main characters are in this scene, and there's a third character in the shot that we think the whole time in this movie has deceased. In fact, he's not. This third character that we think is deceased, and I'm giving it away, I'm sorry, but he gets up in that last scene, and that sent shivers down my spine. But the thing that really gripped me was that as he was walking out, this, not just this big blast of surprise, but the thing that he said was, and I don't exactly remember how the wording goes because it's been so long, but essentially that so many of us live our lives so ungrateful to be alive. We take our time for granted. We're never really truly present. And the premise of the movie is that this man is out to teach people to be grateful in this very sadistic way. But that really captured my heart, and it really made me, something just sank in deep for me that day when I watched that particular scene. And I thought back to how I can also give my life away, I suppose. I'm not actually truly always present. And that sparked or seeded a plant for me to really focus intentionally and on purpose on what it means to be present, fully present right now, instead of waiting for the weekend to come around or saying, if X, Y, and Z happens, then I'll be happy. But just being fully present and fully content in this moment right now is that seed that was planted. And there's a sense of urgency for me. We take life for granted and we think death is, you know, sometime in the future, but who knows? I might walk out of my door today and get hit by an elephant walking down the street. We just don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So that movie in particular definitely has totally shifted and changed the trajectory of where I am today.
Even sci-fi movies can change your life.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Is there a sci-fi movie you're thinking of?
No.
Okay.
On my honeymoon, my husband took me to see Aliens. He
didn't
evidently
that.
He did no not so much. I like suspense. I just don't like the gory part. You know, the thing jumping out of her stomach was not really what I would have called a romantic moment, unless he was thinking that was going to give me get him a hug or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes. But all of my two kids and my husband all love sci-fi, so it is in our house. I just choose to watch it like this.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Okay. So how do you recommend to folks, or what's for you your best way to unwind and to recharge, to be able to be confident and courageous? You have to be able to do that. So how can you recharge? How do you recharge?
That's a really great thought, that in order to be confident, we need to unwind first. I never really thought about it that way. I think when it comes to building confidence, you're right. We do need both sides of the pendulum, where we need to do the work in order to not just give ourselves a sense of fake confidence, but do the work that helps us to discover who we really are. So it's that unwavering conviction of our worth, but also to give ourselves that space and the permission to play. I think for me, play is a great way to unwind. I love to laugh. So if I wanted to really laugh, I'll either go out in person, or I'll find something on TV that's like a stand-up comedian, for example, or watch a comedy. But the sense of laughter is a great way to unwind. Play, if that's, you know, engaging in playing an instrument, for example, but getting into that type of flow where you're not necessarily trying to achieve anything, but you are there and just really enjoying the moment, I think is a really great way. So either laughter or flow for me is definitely top of my list when I need to remember, and I don't always, but remember to wind, like bring myself back to, you know, just rest, unwind.
So I have a 4-year-old grandson and he plays baseball. And I now found that if you ever have a terrible day or you feel sad or depressed, just find a field where they're playing four-year-old baseball or three-year-old.
Oh, yeah?
You cannot not leave there without smiling and laughing for 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So much fun. And I think it's because they don't care, you know, and you just get so jealous of the four-year-old's just ability to do what they want to do, have fun doing it, and not care about anything. And I think that to me just makes you feel happy. And so that's what I would recommend to people. Go see a 4-year-old T-ball.
You don't want to be that weird person without any person, not knowing anyone in that game.
Well, I'm sure. You can just bring a camera and just then tell them you're just going to post onto Facebook how fabulous their team is. But it's just hilarious. It truly is. What, as a psychologist, even if you don't want to be as a psychologist, and the positive aspect of it, the positive psychology, I think is so much needed now. In the last 3 years, we had a lot of people that were reflective about life and what their legacy should be, and the fact realization that tomorrow is not guaranteed, and living in the present is so important. So what have you seen in terms of the impact of our pandemic in terms of the clients that you have in their ability to find that capability of living in the present? Is it more so, or is it just they're still very confused on how they can do it in this world that we live in today?
I think the greatest change I've seen since COVID is not in the area of being more present. I think there are two different things that I've seen. It's the first, it's about the relationships. A lot of relationship turmoil has really been kicked up since COVID. And I've definitely noticed an uptick in people coming for relationship conflict and issues and communication, things like that. And the second thing is, and I think this is a really great positive change, not that I like to label anything as positive or negative, but people have been taking more ownership of what they are interested in. So they're putting their needs first, or they're, if not first, they're actually integrating into their careers. Well, I actually prefer to work with other people, for example, or maybe I don't like being in the office every day, so I need to find a new job that'll let me work from home 2 days a week. But I'm definitely noticing people are actually taking a greater stance on and taking being more aware of what they prefer and integrating that into their lives more, versus in the past before COVID, I think it was more, well, this is how it's done and this is how it's always been done. So I'm just going to, you know, go into whatever career or life and the way that it's supposed to be, because it's always been this way. Whereas now people are saying, well, actually, no, this is not how I like to live life. That's definitely something I've noticed. But the relationships for sure has been the turmoil, the conflict, the inability to communicate effectively, especially when you're spending all day with the same people trapped in a house, in a building, in a room. Emotional mastery is definitely something that I've noticed is coming up to the surface for people to be able to get better with.
And I think it almost reminded me of whenever a husband and wife have, where they've retired and now they are together with each other all the time. Yeah. And it's like, and they, but they really, they spend so much time away from each other that they have to really rediscover each other. Mm. And I think that's what happened with a lot of people. You know, they got married, they were involved with the kids going to school and doing their thing separately. And now all of a sudden they had to be with each other and they didn't really know that person they were with anymore.
Mm, yeah, that's a great point.
Well, we have run out of time. So I have, I think, can do one rapid fire. If you could share just your own personal challenge or goal that you are working on, you only have a few more months of this year. Is it a goal that you're trying to get done this year, or have you decided, okay, next year, this is what I want to do? What kind of challenge or goal do you have for either this year or next year?
Yeah. So mine is quite the opposite. I've been a very driven person, high achiever. It's just in my culture, in my blood. So to be at a point in my life where I'm learning to surrender has been a really great challenge. So I used to love setting goals, making sure I'm meeting them. I'm on some kind of timeline, trying to meet some or get to some destination. And over the past few years, something that I have really been urged to learn is to surrender. So I can acknowledge what I want in my heart, but the act of surrendering is it's not up to me to say how it happens. Mm-hmm. Is something that has been a big challenge for me, given my personality. So over the last year and coming up into this year, it really is about me getting better at dancing with that energy of, okay, I know what I want, I can work towards it, but I have to let go of how it's done and let go of that, like that will to have it done a certain way. And that's probably going to be my next, or it has been a challenge for me.
For sure. All right. It's time now for me to share my screen so that you can get the contact information. If you haven't been taking notes, this is time to get that pen and paper so you can write down the contact information. So the website is, and I have to make sure I say it correctly, Bodifly. No, yes. I didn't get it right. Yep.
No, you got it.
Okay. Bodifly. And that website is bodifully.com. Instagram is the same, Bodifly. And I will let Jasunni talk to you about what you can find when you go to the website.
Yeah. So you will find different links to resources for whether it's to build your confidence or maybe get a clearer picture, have more clarity about who you are, why you're here, if that's something that you are seeking. And then you'll also see a page called bodysparks.com. I believe if you go through Bodifly, it's bodifly.com/tribe. But when you end up on that page, you'll see an invitation for you to join a community of individuals who either consider themselves entrepreneurs, empaths, sensitive souls, people who are looking to have more resources, skills, and support in expressing their authentic self. So if this is something that calls to you, I highly encourage and invite you to come join the Bodhi Sparks community.
Well, Sunny, it's just been so wonderful chatting with you.
Likewise.
I loved hearing your journey, and I hope you do get back to Hawaii soon so that you can fulfill that goal and that dream. And as always, I remind everyone that life is a journey, and it's up to you to enjoy the ride. This is Vicki Nethling. Signing off.
Thank you for tuning into the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling, where we share impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Remember to visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast.